This is the second interview with Sidney Edelstein on his own oral history and that of the Dexter Chemical Corporation and associated activities. This is Arnold Thackray. It is Friday, 24. Sorry. What day is it?
Wednesday. February.
It's Wednesday, 24, yeah. February, 1988. Sidney, will you talk about
all right.
Dexter?
I think we have to go back to our last meeting. If you remember, I talked about the end of my association with Hart Products, and I also spoke about how, in parentheses, a guy walked in who wanted to go into the pigment business and how we set up a company called the Celluddyne Corporation, where I was a technical director and I made Hart the sales agent. But I didn't give the name and explain this gentleman. It's now time to talk about this, because this is the beginning of Dexter Chemical. The young man that had come in, and I said in my previous discussion, a guy walked in with an idea of making pigments and working with me. His name was Joseph Evans. His family owned a small paint plant in the Bronx. And Joe was interested in getting out of just making paints, but in other things. And so we worked closely together in setting up this Celluddyne Corporation. And Joe Evans and I became very close personal friends. Joe was the eternal, outgoing salesman type. Wonderful, handsome guy, could play the piano. But he was not a chemist in the normal sense and not a businessman. I felt that I was more the retiring chemist, inventor, and I felt that it was a natural if we became associated together. We each offered what the other needed, so I thought. And over almost a year of association, we often talked about the fact that together we could run a specialty chemical company devoted particularly to textiles, which would transcend anything that was being done at the time. So it was natural that we got together to start Dexter Chemical Corporation as a joint enterprise. We each had certain things to offer. The thing I had to offer was a real knowledge of the business and technical ability. The thing Joe had to offer was the fact that his family had a building where we might go in and take over part of it to manufacture chemicals. You must remember that the end of World War II, manufacturing in a flux. There was not buildings around, there were not things around, equipment was most difficult. So it was a natural thing to say, well, we'll go into business. He wanted to get out from under the paint business. And I wanted somebody who could go out and help sell and make a nice front. And so we got together. And about a month before the end of the war, we knew it was coming, we more or less agreed that we would set up a little company and I would leave Hart. I mentioned already how I had left Hart and the thing. To make a long story short, we set up in November 1955. Approximately a week or two, I think, after the World War II ended. Dexter Chemical Corporation was incorporated. Joe Evans and I each owned half the company. We flipped a coin to see who would be president. Fortunately, I won and I became the president, and Joe Evans became the vice president. And we worked out a deal with his family paint business where we would take over part of their plant, we would put in our own equipment, and we would pay them a percentage of our business for furnishing the labor, etc., to manufacture our chemicals and also for rent. So this seemed like a nice, good way to start it. We each put in a piece to invest in the business, $15,000 a piece at that time. And a little later, we needed another $10,000. So the total investment to start Dexter was something like a total of $50,000, which each of which furnished half. Mm. Now, equipment. It was impossible to get new equipment. So what did we do? We went out very quickly, and we bought broken-down, second-handed equipment, had them remade and redesigned and added things to them so that we could quickly get into manufacture of chemicals. Now, what were we going to make? We were going to make more or less the same type of chemicals that we had been making at Hart, more or less.
So you would be in competition with
Hart? Yes, more or less. Now, when I left Hart, remember, there were a number of things that happened. Firstly, 90% of the products that Hart was selling that time were chemicals that I had invented because of the war and other things. So, secondly, the company depended on me. They had made their money, I kept it going, and we finally, as I mentioned before, settled the whole thing. And I left the company taking along with me my patents and any processes on my chemicals. No argument on that. Now, we would start off making similar chemicals, the things that I had developed, and standard chemicals that were available. Before long, the chief chemist who had been at Hart called me up and said, "Sidney, if you're leaving, I don't want to stay at Hart. I want to come with you." So we hired him to come as a chemist. A couple of the salesmen that we had been close with and worked with, the same thing. "If you're leaving, I'm not staying. I want to come with you." So Dexter started with two salesmen that had been employees of Hart Products, a more or less chief chemist who had worked very closely with me, and also it was very fortunate because a couple of the salesmen had certain business which inherently they held because of themselves. So we had something to start the business with. But we had more than this, we had certain principles, which I set up. And frankly, my partner more or less followed me and whatever more or less I felt, because my experience had been many years in this, he was new to the field. I felt very strongly that the specialty industry for the textiles had suffered from a number of things. Firstly, there was not enough true creative scientific work being carried on by the smaller companies. I had done a great deal of it, I felt, during my work at Hart and with the development of these various things for the war industry, and I felt that this principle was an important one. Number two, the textile chemical industry, the specialty type of industry, had been based on more on salesmanship of the kind that it meant, we won't just say graft, but let's say high, expensive entertainment, rather than the true, absolute quality and technical service. We felt that the future of the industry could not depend on just that, whether a person was entertained or whether he liked the salesman. But it would depend on whether he could get good products and whether the service would be good and whether he could get technical assistance within the plants. In other words, real technical service. So we started on the principle of, one, research for the development of new and useful chemicals for the textile industry. And incidentally, all we were concerned about at the time was the textile industry. Secondly, technical service. In other words, have people or experts who could go in and help these plants by working in the mills with our chemicals or any other chemicals that were needed. And thirdly, efficient service. Give them material when they needed it, be concerned with the customer, etc. Now, this didn't mean that we didn't believe that you had to have good salesmen. We know that no matter how good your product is, if a person doesn't want to do business with you, it won't make any difference. So we felt that we would have a different type of, shall we say, salesmanship, not based on, in quotes, graft, but based on friendliness and based on the kind of company they were dealing with and our reputation. And later on, history comes into play in regard to this.
The textile companies were still very much in the north.
They were in the north and in the south. They were in the north and south. At the end of the war, the big companies, a number of them, were in the process of moving south. A lot of the New England companies were building plants and moving, getting ready to move in the south. But at the time, all of the plants were static. In other words, the war, they're not moving or building new plants. But a number of the New England plants moved down south. But at the time Dexter started, New England was a very important place for us to do business. In fact, it was almost one of our most important places, and the south was very important. As to what happened later, we can explain.
How was your first year?
Let me talk about the beginning of the company, how it became, the name Dexter came about, and everything concerned with it. I admit, I don't mean to take anything away from my partner, but I was the leader and he followed along simply because this was my field and I had different ideas. And he supported me in anything that I did. I felt that here were two very young people starting a company. A big part of our business was going to start off in the north because the two textile salesmen that came to us from Hart were not all doing their business in New England, in the north. So we felt that people would not look with too favorable, particularly New England, on a company that started from a couple of young fellas who basically were not New Englanders, even though we knew a lot of the people there and had worked there. So this is where my own personal feeling for public relations promotion came about. Firstly, we hired, without any real money, an advertising agent and a public relations guy to start off with, even though we didn't have enough money for me to draw a salary or anything. We didn't draw salaries. But we felt we had to make a splash and make ourselves appear as if we were people or a company that had been around. So this came around to the name. What are we going to call the company? We're not going to call it Edelstein Chemical or ABC Chemical. I said, we've got to pick a name that has a feeling for a continuous continuity in the United States and perhaps in New England. It should have many other things. So what I did was sit down and make a list of names. And where do you get names? I used a lot of my historical things. I had a whole list of names of famous chemists. I had a list of names of the first professors of chemistry at different American institutions. I had some ancient names like Galen and this like, all really using history in the thing. Now I had certain, incidentally, is it, you like this stuff or you want
yes.
this?
Yeah.
The requirements for the name were manifold. I had many things that it required. One, it must give a feeling of a name that as if it's been around a long time in the United States, and particularly perhaps in New England. Number two, it can't be a name that's used by hundreds of companies. It would be no good. Number three, it must be easy to spell. Four, it must be a name that can be converted into trademarks easily. And a number of others. A place, you don't want a name that ends with X or Y or Z and be at the bottom of a list. You want one up pretty early in the alphabet. You want a name that can be easily spelled. Well, to make a long story short, out of thousands of words and names, the name that met the most of the requirements was the name Dexter. And who was that? How do we get Dexter? Aaron Dexter was a first professor of chemistry at Harvard. Now, I didn't pick him because he was the first professor. It's because from my list, I had his historical names, and his fitted most of the requirements. First, Dexter is a nice old New England and English name. Two, there were not many corporations, no chemical company involved. Three, Dexter has a wonderful meaning. Dexter means right-handed, so right away we had a symbol for our company, Industries Right Hand, Dexter. It's easy to spell. You can make a lot of trademarks. We immediately can make names like Dextrol, Dexter Set, Dexter This, and so forth. That met all the requirements. So Aaron Dexter was the patron saint of Dexter Chemical Corporation. That's how the name came about. Now, we ran right away in the technical journals, full page ads in color. We didn't say that a new company was formed or anything like that. And we started to talk about Dexter Chemical Corporation and the things it did. And people began to think almost as if, well, it had been around a long time. But it wasn't. But it seemed to work and be useful.
Mm-hmm. Where did your first orders come from?
The first orders came from the time, well, let's see. Let me start in the first orders. The company was organized, I think, in November, every day the war was over, officially incorporated. And by December, I was shipping, it shipped a fairly large quantity to an old customer and friend of mine down south of a mercerizing assistant that I had developed. And in fact, I think we made our first shipment. Maybe our equipment wasn't quite ready in a paint, just simple mixing of the chemicals. There's some interesting stories about this particular chemical, and I think we can divert a little bit. This chemical called Dipenol, D-Y-P-E-N-O-L, was a special mercerizing assistant, and it was based on a particular carcinic acid that had to meet certain conditions, and certain other ingredients which were added. But the base material, which amounted to 90-95% of it, was a particular Cresol, or carcinic acid, as we called it. Now, the only place where this material was made that met our requirements was in Wales, a big plant that Monsanto had from in Wales, coal tars or whatever. Mm-hmm. And the carcinic acid that came, we could buy a particular grade that met our specifications. And it's interesting to note that we started off with, this is one of our first chemicals, and very quickly we'd gotten in touch with the local salesman for, what are we doing here? Getting this caught. We got in touch with the salesman from Monsanto who handled this type of stuff, and he was a good friend of ours because I had bought certain of these carcinogenic acids when I was at Hart making my product from him. Now we felt that here was a chance for us to get ahead in this market. Here I had, firstly, Hart had turned over the name and everything concerned with this mercerizing penetrant to me. No argument. I mean, I owned a trademark, etc. Secondly, I was well known throughout the mercerizing industry for the papers and work and test methods I developed. Thirdly, during my time at Hart Products, I bought carcinogenic acid in a particular time and became, I thought, an expert in the fluctuations of the price of this material, which could vary from 60 cents to $1.50 a gallon, depending on world conditions and certain other things. And I developed, I felt, a good feel for telling when it would rise and when it would come down. And I figured, here is a chance for us to make some real money, because at that time, the carcinogenic acid was selling, I think, for like 75 cents a gallon. And I felt from certain of my calculations that within a month or two, the price would go up to maybe as high as $1.50 or $1.60. I felt it would be wonderful if we could buy a lot of this carcinogenic acid. But we didn't really have credit or money for that. After all, remember, the company had a total of $50,000 invested in equipment and whatever it had, and spent part of it for advertising. So it didn't have too much to weigh assets. The only assets we had were our own brains. So I figured I got a hold of this salesman. And we said, look, we'd like to buy a whole boatload of carcinogenic acid from Monsanto, from Whale, this particular type. And he said, well, the problem's going to be with their credit manager. So I said, look, we got to manipulate some way. You got to talk him into it. You got to show him this or that. I don't know. But look at the commission you're going to make on it. Anyhow, some way or other, he managed to talk this credit manager to allow us to buy all this. Now, it meant that we were buying it FOB England. And we were responsible for this damn stuff. Now, we buy the stuff, and they accept it in the order, and they tell me the order is officially being shipped to the docks. My partner and I and the salesman, we have a couple of drinks. We're celebrating. Oh, boy. We're buying it. I think it was, it could have been 68 cents a gallon, and I know we're going to double or triple the price on it. Man, we were happy. They got through. They gave us the credit. It ran into hundreds of thousands of dollars we were buying. And then something happened that I never figured on, because I thought I was smart and could figure everything else. In England, they had a dock strike that started that was the longest dock strike that ever happened in England. It lasted for months and months and months. And here we own all this carcinogenic, and it's sitting on the docks. Now we own it, FOB, it's ours there. They're not responsible for it. In the meantime, the prices in the oil, paint, and drug reports start to go up. It gets up to $80, $90, $1, $1.25, $1.99. We got this damn stuff sitting there, and we can't break it. Bring it. Oh my God, the price is way up. We don't know what the hell we're holding off on paying for. You know, some manipulation. They gave us longer time because it was sitting there. Finally, the strike is over. And the stuff is now being shipped, and we're happy. In the meantime, the price starts to drop, and drop very quickly. I mean, the quotations while it's on the boat coming over. In the meantime, the official price was something like, finally gets down when the stuff is set about 2 days away from New York, to, let's say, somewhere like 80 cents a pound, and we bought it for 67, and I knew the price, as soon as it was landed, it would drop maybe to 50 cents. I get a hold of a company, it was Philip Brothers. We're very friendly with them. Philip Brothers Chemical, big exporters and importers. And I talked to the head guy, young fella who I was good friends with, and I said, look, we got all this gracilic acid, the oil paint and drug reporter shows us it's 85 cents, I'll sell it to you for 75 cents, you want to buy. Where is it? He says, on the boat. It's all right, I'll buy it. Takes it off our hands. He gets it in. By the time he gets it, the price dropped. I bought all of it back later from him at about 50 cents a gallon. We still meet after all these years, which is now, what, over 40 years, and we laugh about it because we worked and done a lot of business together. But I think it's an interesting thing to show, no matter how smart you are, how much you watch everything, there's always something that can go wrong. And it happened, and we were lucky. We didn't deserve to get out of it. It was just another piece of luck. How's that for a story?
That's quite a story.
It is. This is all true.
Quite a story.
All right, that was just a side issue. Now, let me get back to Dexter. Dexter began to make very good standard type of chemicals in the field. We particularly were good at our mercerizing things, and we offered special service. I particularly would even go and spend a week or two in the plant making them equipment work and helping them out. I would say that our first year went along in the expected path. The industry's changing, everything is changing. And now some of the plants from New England begin to move south. And we put on, at that time, a third salesman who was to cover our chemicals in the south. Now, let's stop a minute on this thing here. Till I catch my...
Okay.
Let's just stop a minute.
Okay.
A little bit about the financial side of Dexter for his first 2 years. You must remember that my partner and I did not draw salaries. Naturally, we had to pay salaries to the people that were working, expenses too. We were fortunate in that we didn't have to pay labor unless we did business, because we had a deal of paying 10% on our sales to the paint company in whose plant we were working in, or took over part of the plant, and that helped us move along. Nevertheless, with the big splurge at the beginning for public relations and advertising and all that, we were running behind first 6 months to a year. And we were able to establish some bank credit where we could borrow, I would think, in order maybe $20,000 to $25,000 to help us until we could get into a break-even position. Which wasn't long. I would say by the end of the second year, we were paying ourselves salaries, not big, and making a little bit of money. And from there on, the company operated, even today, on its own money. While Dexter has open credits, we've never really used bank credits to mount anything, only for temporary things with taking care of customers who needed extra credit. Things of that nature. But the company has been built up all from internal earnings. I think that gives you a reasonable picture.
And the initial expertise was what you were bringing with you out of your wartime experience.
Yeah, plus additional things that very quickly... Now, there were a number of things that came along very quickly on which I'll brag a little about, because I felt I could always see a place where something could be done. You got it on now?
Yeah.